The book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 23, says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." Some translations say, "Sell it not." "Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." This whole concept of truth, as far as absolute truth is concerned, down through the centuries, has presented man with a very difficult problem. That problem seems to be the fact that absolute truth demands responsibility and accountability. In whatever theater you might find it, or in whatever venue you might find it, whatever part of society you might find it, it requires responsibility and accountability. One of the reasons that the country and the world is in the shape it's in is because of their refusal. Because truth is absolute. If it's truth, we often qualify truth by saying absolute truth. Well, truth itself is the definition of whatever is true. It's absolute, in other words. According to the scriptures and the teaching of Jesus Christ and his apostles in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That truth, of course, of which he spoke, was the truth which he represented. When he, in the 14th chapter, according to John's account of the gospel, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It is the truth of Jesus Christ that is set forth in the New Testament, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the truth, which enables us to be saved versus being lost in the after a while. The Word of God, John, according to John chapter 17, verse 17, God's Word is truth. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Folks, we're looking for the truth. Of course, in preparation for any class or any sermon or whatever, we usually consult several different sources, several different commentaries. And there are certain commentaries that I have a great deal of respect for. The vast majority of commentaries do not hold to the concept of there being an absolute truth as far as God's plan of salvation and what the Scriptures teach. I was reading just today in one of the most used sets of commentaries, for which I have a great deal of respect for certain aspects of it. But in this particular thing, it says there are many ways. This commentator, His observation was, there are many different ways to heaven. There are many different ways as far as the church, and no church should be so arrogant as to hold that theirs is the only way to truth. This after he has written many, many commentaries in regard to the supposed New Testament as he sees it. The word truth itself is used some 235 times in the scriptures. In fact, the Hosea, the prophet of old, made the observation, chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." You know, when it comes to salvation, there is only one key, and that is God's truth. Now, in this particular proverb, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, and with it wisdom and instruction and understanding." To buy implies that there is such a thing as truth, in spite of what man himself would try to proclaim. It also implies a cost when it said, "Buy the truth." How do you buy the truth? According to Jesus, you continue in His Word. And if you continue in His Word, you're paying the price for truth. Folks, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, He was paying the price for truth. Truth cost the Son of God an emptying of Himself when He came to the earth from heaven. He paid the cost for truth during the 33 years He walked the face of this earth. And He paid the price of truth when He suffered the rejection of His own people. He paid the price of truth when He was humiliated or attempted to be humiliated. He paid the price of truth when He suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when He suffered the insults that they flung at Him at that time. He paid the cost when He died alone on Calvary's cross in order that you and I might know what the truth is. That's the cost that Jesus paid. What about each and every one of us? It's up to every individual human being. There is a price to be paid. Christ paid it, the ultimate cost. The Apostle Paul paid it inasmuch as he was willing to give up just about everything he had accomplished among the Jews, as well as Peter and other of the apostles, left their nets, left their homes, followed Jesus Christ. That was the cost that they paid. They satisfied. It requires an opportunity, Galatians 6 and 10. We therefore have opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. The Great Commission instructs us through the apostles and those whom they taught to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every Christian is given that responsibility. That accountability on the part of each and every person who is a Christian is to be carried out to the very best of their ability and their talents. God has never expected through His truth for an individual to do that which an individual cannot do. Each one of us have our talents. Each one of us have different opportunities. Each one of us create different opportunities in our lives, our daily lives, as we go about here upon the face of this earth. And it requires an effort, always. The cost, it implies this cost. Buy the truth and sell it not. The last part of it says, sell it not. It means that we must maintain possession of it. The books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course, are the four books that we call biographical, which are really the record of Jesus Christ's teaching, more than biographical. It tells us some events and incidents in His life, but it doesn't go into detail. And for example, from the time He was 12 years old until He was an adult and began His ministry. Jesus said, when you get the truth, His teaching is, when you have the truth, continue, maintain possession. No matter what is offered, we are tried every single day of our lives, but because we're confronted with false teaching on every side in our daily lives. So when we buy the truth, when we pay the cost, let's not give it up. Let's not sell it for any price. I've known of a few occasions, I've known a few men who sold, and I've read about several men who sold their truth for arrogance or whatever it might have been. Beloved, all truth comes with a cost. Whether it's a spiritual truth or whether it is a material truth in everyday life. A spiritual truth is, in response to the question that was asked by the Philippian jailer, by the 3,000 on Pentecost, and by numerous others as recorded in the book of Acts, what must I do? That's the words of the jailer. The implication is, what must I do to be saved? Do you want to spend eternity, which is really an oxymoron? Eternity is without beginning or end. Where do we want to live in the life after this life? Do we want to live in that part of Hades that is reserved for individuals who are going to be spending their eternity, if you will, with Satan? Or do you want to live with those who are the redeemed of the ages, as John saw in his vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, when he talked about the multitudes arrayed in white robes, which had been washed white in the blood of the Lamb? That's where I want to spend my eternity, if you'll permit me to express it that particular way. Where do you want to spend your eternity? All people are lost without Christ. Christ has paid the cost for us all. Are we willing to pay the cost for our part? God has done His part. He sent His Son. His Son has done His part. Our part is to respond to that gospel, to confess our belief in Him as the Son of God and as our Savior, and to repent of our sins, and then to be buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. With the mouth, the heart man believeth unto salvation. The mouth confession is made to salvation. Are you a child of God and have strayed, need to return to the fold? You need the prayers of the church. Whatever it may be, if we can help you, please stand as together we sing.